Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
As we take stock this Memorial Day, remembering our veterans, but also those taken by a pandemic and horrific gun attacks, many look to their faith for guidance, which is, well, a matter of faith. But increasingly, people are adding reason and the words of the ancient Greek and Roman philosophers known as the Stoics, the Roman Emperor Marcus Aurelius, Epictetus, Seneca. We spoke last week with Yale classics professor Brad Inwood, who told us the Stoics believed in being in harmony with nature because they believed in its divine order. They cautioned, be aware of what you can't control, like plagues. But Professor Inwood said, don't confuse that, as some are today, with inaction. Modern man can do something about plagues and violence. The Stoics were also vigilantly virtuous. As Seneca said, let philosophy scrape away your own faults rather than be a way to rail against others. How do I know that? Well, it's in my Daily Stoic Sayings, just one of the items being sold by The Daily Stoic, which is both the title of a 2014 best-selling book and a website created by Ryan Holiday, who's spreading these ancient teachings through social media, workshops, a daily email, with millions of followers, including major sports coaches and CEOs. He wrote The Obstacle is the Way, based on Marcus Aurelius's meditations, and recently opened a bookshop outside Austin, Texas, named after the place in Athens where early Stoics gathered, the Stoa Pikili, or Painted Porch. Ryan Holiday, welcome.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You are not a trained philosopher.
No, I'm a college dropout who found Stoicism outside of the academy. But I think there is a tradition. Marcus Aurelius and his philosophy teacher talked about the so-called pen and ink philosophers, the people who try to come to understand what it means on their own. And I would consider myself a part of that tradition.
Okay. And talk a little bit about how you came to this. We do know that Zeno, who was one of the original Greek founders of Stoicism, wandered into a bookstore in Athens after he was shipwrecked there?
Yes. He walks into a bookstore in Athens and they're doing a reading of Socrates. And he walks up to the bookseller afterwards, and he says, where can I find a man like that? Speaking of Socrates. And the bookseller points him to a philosopher who's walking by. And this changes the course of not just Zeno's life, but in many ways, Western civilization. And I love this idea that the philosophy was founded in a bookstore. Zeno would later joke that he made a great fortune when he suffered a shipwreck, because although he loses everything, it changes everything.
And what happened to you? You know, Zeno hears somebody in a bookstore. What was the light bulb for you?
I was in college. I was a college journalist, and I went to this conference. And I went up to the speaker afterwards, and I said, you seem really smart. Like, what are you reading? And he told me about Epictetus, who I'd, of course, never heard of and couldn't quite pronounce. And I went back to my hotel room, and I bought Epictetus and Marcus Aurelius. And these two books hit me because it was philosophy you could actually use. I mean, what I so love about Marcus Aurelius is he opens meditations first with a list of gratitude. But then when he gets to the heart of it, he goes, the people you will meet today will be annoying and jealous and stupid and short-sighted and petty and all these things. And he says, but you have to figure out how to deal with that. You can't be angry at them. And so it was just entry point into philosophy that I did not know existed. And that, like a lot of people, I actually needed, because being a person in a frustrating world is difficult.
What else was it about Marcus Aurelius's meditations? People do talk about the plain speaking. I love on one of the daily sayings, Marcus Aurelius says, stop talking about what makes a great man. Just be a great man or something.
Yeah, he says, let us waste no more time arguing what a good man is. Just be one. What's incredible about Marcus Aurelius in the meditations is that it's one of the only philosophy books that was never intended to be published. So he's writing to himself about what he needs in that moment as the most powerful, overworked, overstressed, you know, criticized person in the world.
What else do you do, Ryan Holiday, because you're a practicing Stoic?
I think it would be hard to distinguish between Stoicism and journaling. Journaling is a form of Stoic philosophy. Stoicism is the practice of writing down and talking about these things. Epictetus says that in his lectures. He says, every day and night, keep thoughts like these at hand, write them, read them aloud, talk to yourself and others about them. I think that's what Marcus is doing in Meditations. And I try to work through what I'm thinking about, what I'm struggling with, where I'm falling short, where I could do better. And I try to remind myself in writing down these principles so they get absorbed into the mind, the DNA, so that when big moments happen, when you are tested this way or that way, you pull up the wisdom of those teachings.
Well, and you also get to put that writing into websites, a daily email. You lead workshops. There's an Instagram page. Do you ever doubt yourself now that millions are, I don't even know if they're doing their own journaling, but they're reading yours. They're following you.
It's a heavy thing. I mean, I have a little note next to my desk that I think about. It says, am I being a good steward of Stoicism? And to go to your point earlier, like, it would be easier, it would get more attention, it would probably sell better if I only focused on the elements of the philosophy that people wanted to hear about, the indifference to things that upset you, or, you know, you never wade into something that's political or controversial. But I think about, you know, whatever the random circumstances that put me in this position where I am associated with what Stoicism means to people, where I'm an injury point to it, I take that responsibility seriously, and I try to think about what are the ideas in this philosophy that will benefit people, that will make myself and them better. It's certainly an intimidating thing. I mean, we don't know how many Stoics there were in Greece or Rome, but when I look at the numbers of how many people get the email or respond on Instagram, it's probably the largest community of Stoics that have ever existed. And that, you know, not being the emperor of Rome, there's certainly some doubts that creep in from time to time.
Well, it's monetized. You're making some money. Do you ever feel that that cheapens it?
When I think about how philosophy was subsidized in the past, right? I look at Greece or Rome and I see a slave economy, an economy based on plunder and privilege. I'm glad that that doesn't exist, right? Seneca can sit and write these beautiful writings and letters and not have to work a day in his life because his bills are paid by Nero, right? So I don't see that as like a super just system. And
especially since Nero was kind of an idiot, right? Go ahead.
I mean, worse than an idiot. He was a terrible, murderous tyrant. You know, we live in an economy where artists are supported directly by the people who like their stuff. Is it perfect? No. But, you know, sometimes I'll be criticized by academics who think that it's weird. And I go, look, you know, nobody's taking out hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of debt to pay to attend my classes. I am reminded of a thing that Seneca says. Why can't a philosopher be wealthy provided that their money is not stained in blood? As long as we're doing it fairly and justly, I can sleep at night knowing that I've done what I can.
But what do you make of young men in particular who are using maybe even your writings, thoughts of the Stoics, to excuse really terrible behavior? Racism, misogyny, inequity? Well, there's nothing I can do about that.
So if you're taking Stoicism to mean you don't have to care about other people, any number of these things that you would like that basically just mean you don't have to do stuff you don't want to do, you think you're missing the point. And when I think of the four virtues of Stoicism, which Marcus Aurelius calls the touchstones of goodness, he says there's nothing in the world better than these four things. It's courage, self-discipline, justice, and wisdom. So I find it very hard to buy the argument that Stoicism means you don't have to care about what's happening to the planet, in social justice, what's happening in Ukraine. Marcus Aurelius says there's two types of plagues. He says there's the one that can take your life, and he says there's the one that can destroy your character. Of course you have to care about these things. In fact, Stoicism is a framework to teach you not just how to care about these things, but I think how to be part of the solution and not the problem.
Is there one last piece of Stoicism you'd like to share?
One of my favorite quotes from Epictetus, he says, "Remember, it is impossible to learn that which you think you already know." And I think of Stoicism then as a form of intellectual and philosophical humility that's forcing you to question yourself, to question things. And I've always taken that reminder to heart.
Ryan, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
And for links to Ryan Holiday and the Daily Stoic, go to hearnow.org.